Welcome to another episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on Season 4, Episode 14, The Shake-Up. I'm going to make this joke again, which I know you've already heard, but I forgot to hit record, and here we are. Hey Google, play Taylor Swift.
Shake it up.
It was funny the first time.
Yeah, it was.
Not as funny the second time. Yeah. Hey, I'm Heather. I've never seen the OC, and I also apparently can't hit record when we go to record our podcast, even though we are 4 seasons in.
Hi, I'm Jane, and I have seen the OC, and I'm just glad that it wasn't me that forgot to press record.
We haven't done that in ages, collectively.
I know.
It's good. It's getting out of our system.
Yeah.
Oh, we're pros, consummate professionals.
We are.
Okay, let's get down to business. This is your final call if you would like to join us for our live show for the final episode of I've Never Seen the OC / the final episode of the OC.
Yes. Heather, we might as well just say this on air. I meant to ask you this off air because you are the brains of the operation. Obviously, this episode will be going out on Thursday the 4th of November. And we will be recording our live on Sunday the
7th. Yep. I'm saying it confidently. Now you've made me, now you've thrown me.
Yeah, no, you're right. So... But are the episodes going out just in real time? So,
yeah, so the episodes will go out as normal.
Okay.
So we are recording the penultimate episode on Friday. Did we decide? Yep. That will go out next week. And then the live episode will go out the week after, even though we have recorded it before the second last episode goes out.
Right. Cool.
Is everyone still with us? That was a bit complicated.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Great.
Sure they will be. Yeah, basically, the people that watch the live will get a surprise. Not watch it, listen to it, or participate in it.
Will they?
Because you won't have heard the in-between one as yet.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you'll be waiting on an episode. That's exciting.
I know.
Yeah. The details to be concise. Sunday the 7th of November.
At 7 p.m.
At 7 p.m. UK time. You can get tickets via the link in our bio at Never Seen the OC on Instagram.
Yes.
And that is the whole shebang.
That's it up.
Another thing, while we are here, last week, if you were listening, you would have heard our call out for some voice notes. I'm just a girl standing in front of a listener asking them to send me a voice note.
Say nice things about us.
Just say lots of nice things about us. You're sending them to helloSethCohen@gmail.com. You just go into your phone, find voice memos or voice notes, record a little something. Lots of people have done it so far, but I'm greedy and I want more. So if you have been a listener of the week, if you have something important you want to tell us, if you... you know, just want to share the love that you have had for this podcast and this community, send it our way via voice note. It doesn't need to be long. To helloSethCohen@gmail.com.
Awesome. I look forward to hearing them all.
Oh, I got one literally just before we started recording. I'll send you after.
Oh.
It was good. It was real good.
Exciting.
Is that all the admin? Do you have any other business? Anything you'd like to address?
Nope, I think we just jump right in because this is a wild one.
So, I thought I'd started watching the wrong episode. On all four, it tells you the name of the episodes and it kind of gives you a little synopsis. So, I saw that there is an earthquake. But I thought the earthquake was next episode. So I started watching this and was like, oh my God, I'm watching the wrong episode. And restarted it 3 times, which meant I had to watch the adverts 3 times.
Well, Heather, I was going to ask you this. So as an employee of Channel 4, do you get, I'm guessing you don't get free subscription to 4OD, do you?
Oh, hell no. It's like the BBC. You still have to pay your TV license.
Right, because what I did, I signed up for the 14-day free trial because I've obviously got to watch these three episodes in the next 14 days, so I can do that advert-free.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's clever. No, we don't get that, but production companies do send me things directly, so
okay.
I don't need to. I can just watch it on my laptop. I don't need to go on all four. Anyway, I'm not here to recruit people to Channel 4. not today, anyway. Maybe, maybe that's what our new podcast could be.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Last time on the OC.
Ryan can't talk about his feelings. Shock horror, but it's new.
We've known that for four series, though, so I don't know why they're bringing it up now.
Yeah. Summer has met her destiny, and her destiny is George. Can't remember what that acronym stands for, but basically it's a Save the Planet organization that wants to give Summer a job offer.
She's gone all great on us, guys. She loves the environment, which is good. The environment's important.
Jonathan, one of our lovely listeners, actually messaged earlier to say, like, oh, any sight of Summer Roberts in Glasgow for COP26? And I was like, yeah,
I could stop laughing.
She'd
funny.
Still be here.
So on the beat with that one, that was great. But yeah, she's really struggling with the fact that Seth isn't potentially going to be the love of her life and that her career might be her passion rather than her man being her passion.
Yeah.
And then remember Jason Spitz?
Yeah, I was like, where is this going? And then when I found out where it was going, I was like, oh God.
I'd completely forgot about this lad. He was in for like two episodes.
Yes, yeah, Sandy went on like a meet date with him and...
Then we never heard of him again. Until now.
Slotted back in with two episodes to go.
Julie and Billet broke up. Julie and Frank got together. Well, actually, they'd been together, but now they're officially together. And Caitlin's sad about that because she loved the Billet.
She did.
And then we open at the Coen's pool. There's two little whales, sharky type inflatables.
Sharks in the water.
We all know that the pizza is the premium inflatable for a swimming pool, but sure, if sharks float your boat.
Oh, I had a peacock before.
A peacock? Brilliant. Do you know, when me and my friend Liz went to France, shout out Liz, and we didn't go to France. We did go to France, but this didn't happen in France. This happened when we went to Crete. We had a flamingo? I think it was. Oh no, it was a swan. I can't remember. Anyway, we had a fun inflatable. I hadn't even been on it, and some French chicks used it when we'd gone for lunch and burst it. And I think about that too regularly.
I can't even tell you my track record with inflatables. So, I had a swan. I would say 2016. Took it to Jersey.
Was that for your hen do?
No, this was before then. But we'll get to that bit. Took it to Jersey, was staying with family over there who have a very cute cat. And the cat, like, we were all just sitting having a glass of wine one night and just heard, like, the cat going absolutely tonto. And it basically, like, knocked fuck out the swan and, like, punctured
killed
it.
Your swan.
So, yeah. So then when I went back to Jersey for my hen do, about 6 months later, my family had replaced the swan with this huge unicorn, like the biggest inflatable I've ever seen, which I then took on honeymoon to Hawaii. And then, basically nearly met my death in the Pacific Ocean because it just kept taking me further and further and further out.
No.
And then Stephen's just like sitting on the beach trying to work the GoPro. And I'm like, hello, I'm dying out here. I'm not a very strong swimmer. So he looks up and does like Baywatch running towards me. Then realizes like after about 10 strokes, like, fuck, I'm never going to be able to save her. And then thankfully these like two guys came, got the swan. But honestly, I mean, all I will say is the picture is absolutely class. Like, I can share it on the socials.
Please send it to me immediately.
But this is like the absolute like epitome of suffering for your art. Like, I almost died.
Oh my god!
Someone stole it. We were staying in this really nice hotel in Hawaii, but this woman like came up to us on the beach and she was like, "Oh, where did you get that?" Oh, and like she was clearly angling, like, "Oh, my daughter would love one." And I was like, "Oh, that's nice. Like, we'll buy your daughter one. Like,
cute for your daughter."
Yeah, and then. It was gone the next day.
She definitely stole it, didn't she? 100% stole it. What a dick.
Long story short, I then got a huge inflatable peacock. And I just stuck in the pool with that. So that was fine. I just lounged about.
Here, do you know my key thing that I am actually like really unbearably surprised at? I cannot believe you wasted a valuable weight space in your suitcase on your honeymoon
I know
on an inflatable to are you fair, mad woman
we had shitloads of luggage and I took it in my hand luggage. So I can't remember who we flew with, but it was a nice airline anyway. So I had like, it basically took up a small case, like, you know, the little pull-on ones, and then I had another bag in that anyway. But yeah, there you go.
That shit cray, man.
Yeah. It's a great pick, though.
I just didn't think that the opening of our podcast would be our manifesto on why pool inflatables should be banned.
Yeah. But they also, they're good for the gram, aren't they?
It's good for a pic. It is good for a pic. But that's, you should get in, get your picture, and then they should get out of the pool.
Yeah.
They take up too much space. Whew, well. Should we get back to the podcast?
Yeah. So basically, the inflatable, there's inflatables in the pool, and then there's an earthquake. And then, I'm so glad we got another one of these episodes 72 hours earlier.
How many? 72 is 2 days, right? No.
Three.
Three? Oh, okay. Hoofed. Yeah.
3 20s are 60, 3 4s are 12. 60 and 12.
Yep. Got you. Uh-oh. This is why you're a teacher.
Not a math teacher. That's the only thing I can do, like times tables.
Oh, no. Times tables are the ones that throw me. I can't be dealing with that. Actually, all math throws me. Math sucks.
It does.
Okay. Summer and Ryan, 72 hours later, are throwing Taylor a birthday party, and Taylor and Summer are chatting about it while they're out shopping. Summer obviously wants to get her friend a present, and instead of just, you know, being a good friend and figuring out what her friend would want, she is asking her, and does she want like a watch? Does she want like a cute top? Does she want like a nice bunch of flowers? No. What Taylor wants for her birthday is for Ryan to ask her to go to Berkeley with him next year.
It's quite specific, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
How do we even pick this apart? Like, it's absolute shit.
I'm really interested to hear your views as to how Ryan reacts to this whole thing. And then I'm like, have they been building up to this because of how much they've been playing or their like stalking behaviour, etc. But anyway, basically, turns out that Taylor's applied to Berkeley. She did it before her and Ryan were a thing. Basically, I think she got back to France, was flapping a bit. But now she's got in and she needs Ryan to tell her that he loves her, or she needs some earth-shattering event, i.e. for him to talk about his feelings. And then there's this sort of like a bit of surface chat, isn't there, about earthquake weather, just to like set the context.
Summer's reading the newspaper. We've got a couple of friends that live in LA, and I just didn't realize there were so many earthquakes in LA. I just didn't realize it was I knew they did happen, but I just didn't realize it was quite as regular as it is. I also really distinctly remember when I was in San Francisco, all the tsunami signs down.
Yep.
That's wild. Yeah. Thank God we live in Scotland, and well, you live in Scotland, I live in England, but yeah. Don't have to put up with any of that shit. Just localised flooding.
Flooding, shite weather all the time, but nothing life-threatening yet. But yeah, they sort of end, there's a little preamble with, oh, earthquakes never happen. Sometimes I wish they would.
And then, what is it she says? How many times have they predicted the big one and it never happens? It almost makes you wish that it would. Yeah, people don't say shit like that. Who would want an earthquake?
Oh, please, bring me a natural disaster. Shut up.
Honestly, I think the writers this week were like off. Do you think they were off and like an intern just went rogue? Because that's what it feels like.
I think they think we've got 3 episodes left. Who actually gives a fuck if you've lasted this long? If you lasted past the alternative reality one, you're in it for the long run.
Preach. Yeah. Preach. Yeah.
We're in the credits and we are at the pool house, and Taylor has prepped this cute breakfast for Ryan outside. And she's like, oh, I'm doing it because you've been so sweet in prepping my birthday party. And then we get the whole, like, woe is Taylor. She's never had a party. She spends all her birthdays watching 16 candles in her room on a psychic hotline.
Whatever floats your boat.
How weird is this next bit?
When they're talking about how strange it is that all this is going to end.
No, before it. Again, see if it just went to that. That would have been fine.
I can't but remember. Ryan, I've not written it down.
So weird. Ryan goes, well...
Oh, the sexy bit. Yeah, I didn't write it down. It made me cringe so hard.
It's so weird. He was just like, oh, well, I'm expecting something in return. And Taylor's like, oh, really? And he's like, yes, to have my way with you. And I'm like, what? Why are you speaking like a Victorian gentleman or something? Like, seriously?
I didn't even write so it down. I pretended like it didn't happen. It was so, gross. It is really out of character.
And then I like this, though, when they put things into context. They're like, oh, it's strange to think of this all ending. And then he's like, oh, it's still 6 months away. So we've got an idea. We must be up at March right now, eh?
Yeah. And she's going heavy on, like, the, you know... Do you know the thing? The thing that just really bothers me is Ryan has been through this exact situation with his ex-girlfriend, who obviously Marissa wasn't his girlfriend at the time, but like he's already kind of experienced this and it wasn't that long ago. So surely she should be taking into consideration the fact that this period for him is going to be quite traumatic and is going to be reminding him of doing it last year when Marissa was alive. She was meant to be going to Berkeley with him, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's wild. But yeah, as we said before, like Marissa doesn't really exist anymore in this show, does she? So
she did get a mention this week, though. Wild.
But Taylor's like, oh, we're just on the cusp of something huge. We need to jump into the void. And Ryan's just thinking, this Quasunk's like banging. He's not keen.
Yeah. And he gets really confused. And he's just a bit like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you actually talking about? What has this got reference to do with anything? And she's just like... Oh, well, you know, it's my birthday. I'm getting sentimental. Instead of just being like, the thing I just don't understand is it's not that daunting to turn around and be like, here, just so you know, I applied to Berkeley before we were together and I've not accepted the offer, but I've been offered a scholarship and I'm thinking about going. How do you feel about that?
Totally.
How is that scary a conversation? It really does just feel like they're making a drama out of absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Anyway, we then cut to the Robert's kitchen and Caitlin's basically walking in on Julie and Frank having a snog,
being all smoochy and cute, and she like really lashes out. She goes on about like his convict bag being on the counter. Did your warden give you that as a going away present? Like, just being an absolute dick.
Yeah, she's been such a brat. What with Caitlin as well, like, 1 minute she goes from being 25 to acting like 15. There's literally like such disparity in her character. Like, she can be really on the ball or she can just be...
Yeah. Although you're around teenagers a lot more than I am.
Yeah,
but I definitely think I was like that as a teenager. Like, I could either be like really insightful and like really like deep, or I could be a fucking child. Like, yeah.
Basically, she's just been really, really rude. She's like, oh, you've spent so much time here, you should move in. He's trying to be quite diplomatic, but it basically, where this goes is absolutely shite writing as well.
I thought it was quite funny. Julie tries to get Caitlin to apologise, and Caitlin says, I'm sorry, Frank, you can have as many conjugal visits as you like, which is actually hilarious.
No, I thought that was funny. Whatever. But it's like where it goes. So you basically at the end of the
scene
is
her. You telling me you're
her.
Not into clown porn?
No. Like, it just seemed such a weird thing to even, not that clown, I'm not, again, not kink shaming anyone. If clown porn's your thing, like, that's cool. But I'm like, this isn't even funny. Like, I think Caitlin would do something more. She's Julie Cooper's daughter, like, more conniving or with more of an edge rather than something, anyway.
Anyway, he's got to go. He's got a job interview. Julie goes to see him out, and Caitlin obviously spots the bag, and a plan is afoot. This is pre-porn section. We've skipped ahead because it's so hilarious, and I will want to talk about it more when we get to it. Kirsten's over at yoga, prenatal yoga specifically, which is surprising for a woman who looks like she's never eaten a carb in her entire life. Mm-hmm. Holly is here.
Yeah, Holly's getting so much airtime, eh? They've fairly flung her in at the end of this season.
She says the line, which, let's face it, we all think, who says I can't have a baby and a six pack?
Oh, totally. That'll be me.
There's one real cruel thing that I am realising the older I get. We women are told that we can have it all, and we can't.
We really can't.
And someone needs to sit Holly down and explain that to her, because... you physically cannot have a baby. And then she turns around and she says she doesn't want to turn out like Molly the Mammoth. Who's just a pregnant
woman.
She's
just pregnant. Okay.
Like, she doesn't even look
pregnant.
Like... I've seen pregnant women look a lot more pregnant than her.
Yeah,
like, she has like
a nice
bump.
Neat little bump, yeah.
Insane.
But yeah, then our two pals who are just as vacuous as her are like, oh, if we get too big, we're just going to like... get induced at 8 months, and they ask Kirsten if she wants to be part of the, is it the six pack pack?
Yeah, yeah, six pack pack, like, which makes me feel quite violently
queasy. Yep.
Yeah. It's, you can just tell as well, Kirsten is just like, I hate all of this. This is not okay, hon.
She would have hated all of that if it was women her age, never mind women like 20 years younger than her.
Yeah.
Here. Her son's age.
Right? Is that not insane?
Yeah.
Thus proving, I think Kirsten's too old to be having a baby. I'd actually, you can have a baby at any age, mm-hmm. but if I had to choose between going through this and that world around, round the world tour that Sandy had booked for her, no, I know what I'd be making.
Yeah.
You'd be packing your flamingo and getting the first flight out of there.
Yeah. We then jump to the tackle place and Summer drops by to see Ryan. She's taken Seth to a... our exhibition that's funded by George, and she's like, oh, this is the perfect day. I love the environment. He loves art. He's going to the art school. It'll be great. And then she's sort of pressing Ryan about Taylor's party and the gifts that he's got her. And it turns out that he has got her a collection of like French poems that she's translated, bound into like a book, which is really lovely.
It's a really beautiful present.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
But is it enough, Heather? No.
Of course it's not. Of course it's not. She drops a very unsubtle hint about telling her, being Taylor, that he loves her.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, it's her birthday. If you feel that way, why wouldn't you? You should do it for her birthday. At which point Ryan kind of clocks on and is like, is got Taylor it. Expecting me to say it on her birthday? And Summer, in a very unsubtle ways, like, what? No. And
basically
then, like,
just runs
off.
Away. Yeah.
Can you imagine going up to your friend's boyfriend, whether you're friends with him or not, and being like, here, I think you should tell her you love, like,
it's so
even
inappropriate.
As a teenager, I don't think we would have had that conversation.
No. The audacity.
Yes.
But, oh, hey ho. Again, two episodes left. It's all to play for, Heather. Do what you want. Do whatever crazy shit you want. We're still here. We're still here after the alternative universe. So. Yeah.
It's still not as wild as the groundhog costumes. Oh, that was insane.
Yeah. But yeah, we cut to Caitlin and Frank. He's obviously asked her to meet him and thanks her. And she's just like really abrasive. And she even like, she comes out with a comment. She's like, oh, I hope you're not going to like try anything pervy. And you're just like, come on to fuck, Caitlin. Like, stop being an absolute brat.
Yeah.
And he's basically like, look, I really care about your mum. And she just, oh, she's just, it's horrible. She's such a petulant, bratty teenager. She's like, well, I don't actually care about the prison stuff. I just find you boring. She's like, Bullet was so funny. And he's just like, well, look, sorry, but I don't know what 15-year-old girls find funny or what you like. And she's like, oh, just, and she makes a comment about him basically like shagging Julie. And he's just like,
I make your mum happy. Like, why can't you be happy for her?
Yeah. And she just like, she's asking him all about all the prison cliches, like, oh, is it true about this, is it true about that? And he's just like, look, give me a chance. And she's like, okay, but it's not convincing.
No, to be fair, so just get deep on you on a Monday evening, Jane. My parents actually separated when I was 12 and then got back together when I was 19.
Wowza.
I know, what a head fuck. Hey Heather, why do you struggle to trust people and fear commitment? Well,
fucking hell, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But when they separated, my mum, well, my dad got a new partner too, but my mum got a new partner and I hated him. I've never hated anyone as much as I've hated him.
Oh, man.
And like, see Caitlin doing all this stuff, I'm like, man, I wish I'd watched this when I was a teenager because I could have got some sick ideas. I definitely had a lot of Caitlin energy about me in that situation. So
I can imagine, to be fair.
I can understand, like, I can understand her frustration and her annoyance. So I'm not as mad at this storyline. I get it.
So, Heather, are you trying to tell me, nice link to the second scene, that you would have tracked down some clown porn and planted it in his bag to be found by your mum?
I don't know if I would have managed to hunt it down as quickly as Caitlin did. That is a, like, did she just have it there in case of emergencies? Like, I don't quite understand that. But yeah, I would have 100% condoned this behavior as a 15-year-old. I think it's, do you know what? Even as an adult, I'm like, first of all, it's hilarious. Second of all, what a move. What a bold move.
It's bold to say the least. But Julie's sort of, and again, I'm like, surely Julie wouldn't believe this, but she seems to begin with. And we've then got Seth in the summer at the art exhibition, and Seth's basically just not impressed. He's been his usual self, criticising everything. And Summer's like, look, if you think you can do better, I think you should. You need to sort of engage with something. You need to feel passionately about something. And she sort of challenges him to make his own movie.
Yeah. I can see where Summer's coming from here. Oh, like, there's nothing worse than being with somebody who is just flat, you know?
So
especially
much.
When they used to be sparkly or sparkling. And now they're just a bit flat. It's
frustrating. I've got a couple of friends like this that have maybe recently been in relationships or started seeing people, and it's like, it's really hard to put your finger on, because, and again, like, for example, I've got this friend who has been seeing a guy for like on and off for like quite a bit, and they split up and they get back together, and like on paper they seem quite good, and I'm like, what is the issue? Like, why is this so on and off? And she's like, oh, he just doesn't have like any drive to get, like, I think he's still doing just like working in a coffee shop or whatever, which is like absolutely fine. She's like, it's not a financial thing, it's not a, but it's like he doesn't have any passion or drive, or like he's happy to complain about his job that he doesn't like, but like not push himself that bit further, you know. And that can be so especially if you are really driven and you've got, you want to do things and you want to, you know.
Well, there's even, I've got a couple of friends who like just moan to me all the time about how much they hate their jobs. Mm. And I'm like, it kind of gets to a point where you're like, if you hate it that much, fucking do something about it.
Yeah.
And I know it's not as simple as that. I know it's not as easy as that. And especially like in Seth's case where he might not realise that something's up. But like, yeah, sometimes it's, especially if you are like a go-getter, shall we say. So yeah, I can see Summer's frustration and setting him a task. I'm kind of into it. Set him some homework.
But again, it's not her responsibility, but she's challenged him to make a movie. We then cut to Sandy's office and shows up, and conveniently he's been at Spitzy's office.
That basically
she's like, oh my god, this was awful. Is it this yoga class? These noopsies were there. And she's like, I just don't know, like, if I can bring a child up in this environment.
She's also like, have they got worse? She's like, the people here are awful. And I love it so much that Sandy's like, yeah, I've been telling you that for 20 years. Duh. Like, where's this come from? Yeah. And she's like, Sandy tries to reassure her to be like, not everyone's like that. Let's go for dinner with the Spitzes. This evening, tomorrow evening, and kind of renew your faith in Newport and renew your faith in humanity. Yeah. And then he wants to join the six-pack pack.
Yeah. I bet you could.
I just don't think he's got a six-pack. He's definitely like toned, and he'll have like a serious core from all that surfing. But he's got a six-pack.
Nah, he's probably somewhere in between a six-pack and like a dad bod. You can see me using inverted commas here because... I am really with that term, but
I just think the dedication. See, when I see people who have six packs, I'm like, do you know what? Fair play to you, because getting a six pack, the dedication and commitment and the restrictions you need to put on yourself to look like that is above and beyond what I would ever do.
I don't have it in me. Lots of setups. We'll go to the gym. Can get a wee bit of tonnage going on, but like not the full six pack. Like I couldn't stop drinking beer or stop drinking wine or
You'd literally have to stop eating X amount of food. You'd have to restrict your food dramatically, and then you'd need to stop drinking all the fun. You'd have to stop doing all the fun stuff in this world and just work out all the time.
For what?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. You look like you've got a slamming bod, but like, are you happy? I don't know if you are.
Probably not. No.
No.
You're never happy when you're starving. Yeah.
Precisely. Amen, yes. Sister.
Yes, I loved earlier on tonight, Heather was like, oh, I might get some Maltesers before I come on. And I was like, oh, I was like, I've already got wine. I'm going to get some other snack. And Heather's just like, yeah, it's pretty much Christmas, right? And I'm like, yeah.
It's pretty much Christmas now, guys. Just indulge.
Yeah.
Treat yourself. Life is short. Life is for living.
It really is. It really is.
It's all about that sweet, sweet, healthy balance, guys.
Yeah, I went to run, now drinking wine on a Monday night. But again, it was the usual. Last night was peak red wine weather. It was Halloween. It was a bit misty outside. And I just thought, I'm going to open the wee bottle of red to have a glass. And obviously can't let it go to waste. So
let it go to waste. Mm-mm, it's true.
It's a nice bottle. Yeah, but we then cut to Ryan and Taylor, who are watching The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Sure, sure.
And Taylor's just really laying on thick, isn't she?
Yeah. How could you let the love of your life just slip away like that, even though you're just because you're too afraid to tell them how you feel? This is so stupid. This storyline is stupid. You shouldn't have to force people into telling them that they love you.
Yeah.
And if you're that desperate for someone to validation. Tell you that you love you, yeah, you need to take yourself aside and, you know, maybe look at getting some support, because if you can't love yourself...
Yep. No, she's just, and she knows all this shit. She's been to enough therapy. She tries to pretend she was a therapist.
She was literally at a therapist to deal with this specific thing. And here we are, what, like two episodes later?
Yeah.
And she's doing literally the toxic behaviour she was trying to not do.
Get away from. But again, Heather, two episodes left. Let's just skirt over this stuff for a good storyline. It's not even a good storyline, but yeah.
Do you know what I would have loved? Mm-hmm. If they brought Marissa back.
That what, she from the dead?
Yeah, like she hadn't actually died. She wasn't actually dead. She was actually just in a coma, like they did in Neighbours so many times. She was actually just in a coma. Do a Buffy. She woke up underground, dug her way out, and now she's back to reclaim what's hers.
Oh, gosh.
If we're going to go hard in the last couple of episodes, that's what I would have wanted.
Yeah. Right, well, I'm not going to say anything about episode 15 then.
Shit. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can, because I've seen the OC, remember?
I'm like, oh my god, maybe?
Like, you're reeling in here. But yeah, she's totally laying on thick and Ryan is not biting at all. And then they're sort of like gazing at each other and Ryan's like, I. And it's like, missed the last bit of the film, going to rewind it. And Taylor's just like pretty much loses it. And then the Hunchback's been all, and she's like, oh, you're the only, better get used to it, buddy. And
ugh. So stupid. Anyway, the next morning at breakfast, Taylor is signing something in the kitchen when Summer comes in and is obviously like, what you doing there, buddy? And Taylor is like, she's been offered a scholarship to Berkeley, but now she's writing a message. I was going to say an email, but no, she's writing a letter. She's penning a letter to the Dean of Berkeley to say, no thanks to this wonderful scholarship. I am going to not do that. Because my boyfriend doesn't love me.
Yeah.
Which so, I don't even have the energy to go into how fucking stupid that is.
Yeah, we can't get into this tonight.
No.
Basically, but Ryan bottled it. And yeah, they're trying to concoct a plan to get, she's like, oh yeah, I think he does love me. She's like, we need to force it out of him. They're like, tie him to a chair. She's like, no, not physically. Let's get some wine and get him drunk to loosen his tongue a little. Fucking hell, really?
Can you imagine if this was the other way around?
Oh, yeah.
And Seth and Ryan were talking about tying up Taylor or getting her drunk to get her to do something that Ryan wanted her to do.
Wild.
This behavior is so not okay. It wasn't okay then, it's not okay now, and it makes me very annoyed.
Yeah. No boundaries, completely toxic, and yeah. Just not acceptable.
I think Ryan should break up with Taylor.
Yeah.
I think he's better off with
her. I think he should run away to Berkeley and get a restraining order.
And then go and sow his wild oats and have a lovely time.
Go and drag Marissa, who's still alive, but buried alive, according to Heather. And
yeah, live their best lives.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. So we then cut to the Coens and Sandy's sort of watching Seth try to set this film. Is like, what the hell? And then Ryan comes like limping in all sweaty and Sandy's just a bit like, oh, can't believe, what did you run these like 10 miles? And Sandy's like, why did you not just save yourself and ask me for my advice? So yeah. Sandy's getting a bit cocky now, eh?
Yeah. To be fair though, Ryan plays up to it and it's like, where would the fun in that be?
Yeah. But yeah, he's basically, oh, I'm scared to tell her how I feel. I don't know how I feel. If I tell her I love her, it'll change everything. And Sandy's like, look, just be honest. And then they're both like, what the fuck is Seth up to? Yeah. And then we cut to Seth inflating an orca. And it turns out that Summer's challenged them to make this pretentious art film. And then he again just loosely drops into conversation like, oh, Taylor called. She wants you to go over for dinner. Like, they've got mobiles. Why is she calling the house or calling Seth? Like,
simpler times. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe they're still sharing Sandy's phone. Remember, there was a point where they were all...
Wild.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll let you do this bit. Your fave so genre of porn, Heather.
it's not on my faves. It's nothing is saved from that section, I can assure you. Julie, porn is also very problematic, but it's also, if it holds a place in people's lives and masturbation is okay there. If clowns do it for you, there is no kink shaming.
No kink shaming here. We don't kink shame.
Do you know what does do it for me though? Julie Cooper being staring so into it. She's sitting. You were like, where is she going with this?
I thought you were going to be like Frank and Julie. I was like, okay.
Anyway, she's having a firm word with Frank to be like, look, I get it. I may have urges. You've been in prison. Things are bound to get a bit frisky and funny, you know, having been there. And she's like, I've never even heard of clown porn.
Well, she did run a prostitution ring, like she might have encountered it at some point, you know.
Right? But I love it even more because not only is there like an array of magazines and what look like DVDs or videos,
oh, man.
But there's also a red clown.
The wig.
Where did Caitlin get this at such short notice? It's so funny. But he's adamant. He's like, it's not mine. It's not mine. It's not mine. And she's like, what? So somebody just came in here and put it all in your bag? And Frank's like, yeah, who would have done that? And she's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It'd have been an even like better twist if Caitlin had found it in the house, presuming it was Dr. Roberts, but it was actually Julie's.
It was actually Julie's.
Julie's
so good. I found my one. He's into it too.
Yeah.
It's even funny because Julie's like, where would she even have got clown porn? My point is
exactly. 15.
Where does she get this from? And it's not like the internet where it's just there. Like, she would have had to go into a shop. Or ordered it online. I have so many questions.
So many.
Anyway, she actually at this point kind of comes down and kind of overhears this next part of the conversation where Frank is just like, look, she's just hazing me. It'll be good to show her that I can take it. This will blow over. Like, we just need to be patient and kind of like hold steady. Should we go over to this orca situation?
Yeah, I've not really written all that much for this other than Summer and Seth are watching his film. Summer says it sucks. He says it's a satire. He's not engaged. She storms off.
Yeah.
Yeah, she keeps... Just... For someone that's called off an engagement, she uses the word engaged so many times in this episode, like in a different context. But she's like, you're just not engaged. You're just not engaged. And I was like, yeah, I think he's feeling shit enough about that, Summer.
Yeah. No, she's kind of pointing out, like, look, this was an opportunity for you to do something that you love. Like, you love films. You love watching films. Like, this is something you could have, like, given a bash at. And instead of doing that, you've just been lazy with it. Did this remind you of, like, telling people off, like, if they've not done their homework properly?
Yep. I'm like, this was a fun task. Why didn't you, like, I could have, you'd done so many things with this. They're just like, oh.
You're just being lazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's very much like, what does it matter? And she was like, well, it was important to me, so that should have been incentive enough. Yeah. Which isn't really fair. Like, I think if Ali sent me homework, I would be a bit like, meh, what's in it for me? And she didn't say that at the outset. If she said, this is really important to me, give it a bash.
I guess it's hard, like, if you want someone to read something. I get this with Stephen a lot. I'm like, I read this book and it was like absolutely amazing. And like, I really want you to read it. Like,
you'll love it. You'll love it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's just a bit like, okay. But then I think it's that way as well. When you big something up so much, it can almost put the other person off.
Yeah.
Because they're like, but yeah. Sure. Oh, right. The next scene is wild. So Kirsten and Sandy arrive.
we arrive and she still has like a washboard stomach.
Oh, yeah.
Like they've not even bothered to make her look a bit bloated. Like I look more pregnant than this in my day-to-day life.
Yeah, she doesn't look pregnant at all. So they turn up at the yacht club looking like they could be in the six-pack pack. Pair of beautiful humans.
Six-pack pack.
Yeah. Kirsten just looks like, or Kelly, what is it, Rowland? I get her mixed up with Destiny's Child girl. She looks like she has been doing like yoga and Pilates from the moment she was born. Like she's definitely hasn't she?
I don't want to, you know, bodies come in all shapes and sizes and you shouldn't look a set way. We are all different. We are all human. Mm-hmm. I am not advocating this sort of body, but 15-year-old me would have been like, that's what I should look like when I'm in my 30s or my 40s, you know? I think we've touched on it briefly before, how skinny so many of the women in this show are. And yeah, that's one thing I'm very grateful for. Yeah, is having not watched it when I was a teenager, because my love for Misha Barton and that thinspiration was real. Mm. And I feel like watching this would have made it even worse.
Jesus, I just shuddered at the sound of that, like hashtag thinspiration.
Oh, it was such a thing though. Like Misha Barton, Kate Moss, the Olsen twins.
Do you remember
I had pictures of all of them.
Yeah, loved them. Yeah. Nicole Richie. Do you remember it was all the... And do you remember it was so, again, at the time, like, not that I, like, fortunately I wasn't affected by this, but I know a lot of people were, but, like, the sort of, like, Proana sites and stuff were so, like, just run-of-the-mill and wearing, like, monitored. And, it was just absolutely terrifying.
Yeah. And even, like, the way, like, Heat Magazine and all these sort of, like, media places spoke about it. And, like, do you remember, like, the Ring of Shame?
Oh, yeah.
They would have pictures of celebrities and, like... Do you know the thing that blows my mind? You know how the wee bit on your underarm that, like, it's kind of not your arm, but it's not your boob? That weird little bit
there?
Yeah,
where you're... Uh-huh.
I always thought that was because I was fat. That's why I had that, is because I was fat. It's not. Yep. It's literally a muscle. That bit is literally a muscle. And like, because I was talking to my personal trainer and she was like, yeah, you know, you can't get rid of that. It's literally the muscle that holds your arm like to your chest. And I was like, oh,
all right, cool.
Because that Ring of Shame has fucked my brain so hard.
Oh, so much. And the people that were in the Ring of Shame weren't even, not that anything would be Ring of Shame worthy, but do you know what I mean? Like they would, you would not consider them like, wild.
Yeah, the toxic effects of the patriarchal society and what it has done to, and is still doing to young women across the world is terrifying.
But we're making progress. We definitely are.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely sure. I just think, like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of toxic positivity within the body positivity world, but it's definitely a step in the right direction for sure. Fuck it, guys. It's almost Christmas. Have the wine.
Have
the Maltesers. Life is short.
It is. So they arrive at the yacht club and big Jason Spitz and his wife are there. And she's like straight out the Noopsie Gang. She's on the phone and she's
horrid,
calling her pal a whole bag. And then she's like, love you, bitch. And then it turns out that her pal's like having an affair with some guy. And then some married man. She's just like, look, get Jason out of the soup kitchen and get him a real job. And Jason looks mortified. But then you're also like, how are you two married? Like, if this
why would you
set this up if you know your wife is like an absolute moron?
But Kirsten, you can see that she absolutely hates this and is like, oh, so Carrie, you're from Newport? And she's like, oh my God, yeah, born and bred. And you can just see there's a look between her and Sandy, which is basically just like, see, we need to get out of here.
And then we cut to dinner where Taylor has prepared a dinner for Ryan and she is pouring wine direct from Dr. Robert's cellar. I'm guessing that is a nice bottle.
I bet you Dr. Robert's got some smashing wine.
Yeah. But Ryan's like, oh, I'm not actually that much of a wine drinker, but Taylor's like totally wired, isn't she? And she's like topping up the drinks and Ryan's like, oh, look, I need to talk to you. And she's like, nope, we'll chat after dinner. And then she tries to like engage him in some wine sniffing and tasting and Ryan's just a bit like, fuck, okay, whatever, not into this.
Also, it is so unbelievable that 18-year-olds would be drinking red wine.
Oh God, you need to build up to that shit.
That is like 24 plus, my friend.
Yeah. Start on the rosé, maybe get in the...
The White Zinfandel. Oh, a classic. I bought the White Zinfandel before going to ABC, and that was literally the best days of my life.
God, it actually like turns my stomach to think about it now. Like I do like a wee rosy like in summer, but it has to be basically like a blush, you know, like
it needs to be like more. So. Have you tried the orange?
Oh yeah, oh big fan of the natural wine. Yeah.
Have you tried White Zinfandel recently?
No.
It's just like drinking sugar.
Yeah, that's honestly, what I imagine. It's like it's a slush puppy.
It is like, a defrosted
slush
puppy.
The Blossom Hill had one,
didn't
they?
Yeah,
that
was
the one. Oh, God.
Classic.
Like $6.49 a bottle or something. It's funny because Stephen was saying we would on a Friday night when we both lived at home, like I would work in the tax office until like 8 o'clock, and then we go to like the big Tesco in Cumbernauld and buy like snacks and buy like a bottle of White Zinfandel and then like drink it in like my room or his room and watch like a film. And I'm like, oh my God, can you believe we drank that shit?
We thought you were such, do you know the worst thing is we thought
classy.
We were adults. Yeah. Like, oh, I actually don't drink vodka. I drink wine. I drink rosé wine.
Oh God.
What also like, I really struggle. Maybe this is, I'm just a total lightweight now. But when I was like 18 to like 22, I would happily drink a bottle of White Zinfandel on my own and then go out to a nightclub. Is that not insane?
Almost as insane as like, I remember being at the bar in ABC and like ordering.
Which one? Polar Bar?
Well, no, because this would be like 2:45, so Polar Bar would probably shut by then. But
okay,
like
main bar,
ordering main bar, ordering like shots of Goldschlager at 2:45. Why? Why? You're literally
the
going
party
home
was
in
over.
50 minutes. And remember, they're like, oh, it's got a little bit of glass in it that'll cut your throat. And,
oh
like,
my God,
make you even drunker. Oh, I honestly think they stopped selling that because of the nick I got into drinking that in there.
Do you know what I actually just get like? Repressed. I hope she never listens to this, but Ali's sister-in-law, my future sister-in-law, mm-hmm. Annie, wonderful woman. I have so much time for her, but you will 100% recognize her because she used to work at ABC.
Oh,
and like,
really?
The first time I met her, I just got the worst anxiety I've ever had in my life, because I'm like, oh my God, you have seen me in such sights. Like,
oh,
in
no.
such
God.
State. I'm like, how many boys have you seen me snogging at your bar? How many times have you seen me fall down the stairs? How many times have you seen me order 4 shots and do them all on my own? Like, honestly, I'm just like,
oh, that's
oh,
so much
man.
Fear, isn't it?
And like, I've never brought it up with her to be like, do you remember me? Because I 100% remember you, because I'm so scared of the answer.
You've had so many like different haircuts though. You might get away with it.
No, she definitely, maybe. I'll just never show her pictures of me with blonde hair because the fear is so real. And I'm just waiting for like, I don't know, maybe at our wedding that she'll like randomly grab the mic and be like, I remember Heather throwing up in her bar. That's a lie. I've never thrown up in a bar. But yeah, the fear.
Oh God. That's, I wonder if I, what's her surname? Or do you want to?
I'll show you.
Show me a picture.
You'll 100% recognize her. 100%.
Fuck. Yeah, because like my friend Stuart, and like I know a lot of people that work there. But yeah, that's oh God, that's scary.
Oh,
garage staff as well. God.
Oh, Ali. One of Ali's best friends is now the general manager for the garage.
I remember you saying this.
It's hilarious. Like he does a smashing job, but also. To be fair, he's got us into the garage a couple of times in our old age and looked after us. So
I don't even know what that would be like now. I used to go to the garage on Christmas Day. How fucked up is that?
Mate, we should go to the garage on Christmas Eve. You
oh
and
my
me.
God.
You and me, baby.
Yeah. Oldest great. People in there. They'll be like, do you listen to podcasts? We've got one. And I'm a teacher and she works in television. We've got a podcast. We used to come here all the time. Do you want to see pictures from my Facebook 15 years ago?
I God, think I'm probably. Oh my God.
Oh well, God. Okay, we're so old, man.
Back to our point that 18 year olds don't drink red wine. I feel we've covered that like suitably moving swiftly.
How much
on.
Are we just indulging ourselves tonight?
We shouldn't have had the Maltesers. That's what set us on the trajectory.
Oh, man.
Right, okay. Carrie still does sorority stuff, which is fucking whack in my opinion. This woman is awful. And Kirsten very politely is like, I might head home. I feel a bit sick. Oh, makes her excuses. And she turns around and she's like, oh, don't tell me you're bailing because you're pregnant. That's
what
so lame.
Fuck?
And Kirsten just turns around without skipping a beat and is like, actually, I'm an alcoholic.
How much did you know the next line was coming, though? And she's like, oh, me too.
Oh, my God. I literally wanted to crawl through the screen and punch her in the face. She is the literal worst. And then she shouts at this nurse who's sitting next to this crying baby to take her out, to which everybody's like, oh, my God. And then she's like, oh, don't worry, it's my baby. What the fuck? This woman is horrific.
And then they're like, make their excuses to leave. Carson's like, I don't feel well, I need to go. And then if they get up and leave, like, they're not even out of earshot. And she's like, oh, losers.
Yeah. Not before, not, she's just before that, she's like, remember, you can call me for baby advice at any time.
Fuck.
She, like,
how
honestly,
not to, how not to raise a child, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, too much. Far too much.
Did enjoy this next scene, though.
We've all been there, baby. Probably after a bottle of White Zinfandel.
Yeah.
Ryan is carrying a drunk Taylor to bed. And she says, but if I can't get you drunk, you'll never tell me you love me.
Yeah, the game's a bogey, isn't it? She's totally just outed herself.
Yeah.
And she's mad with it. And she's basically listed all the mental things that she's done. She's like, I stalked you, I dressed up as a grandfather, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go through them all again because I've covered them in extreme detail.
This should be the point that Ryan's like, oh yeah, you did do that. You're insane. I'm dumping you. Goodbye.
But
that's
instead,
what should have happened here.
By the way, Taylor, I love you.
Does it not just make, like, I really resent any man who is like, oh my girls, bitches be crazy. Like, it's because it's factually not true. And
Taylor is crazy.
But that's the thing. I'm just like, she is acting like a psychopath. And instead of that behavior being addressed or dealt with or, you know, anything, she just gets what she wants.
Yeah, it's
like, what is that teaching guys, that women can act in really irresponsible and not nice ways and they still should? I just don't understand. I don't understand the writing. I don't understand the point. What is the point?
But yeah, so basically he tells her, they hug, she drops the Berkeley bomb and then falls
asleep.
Now we
can go to Berkeley together.
Yeah, he's like, what? And yeah, it's, we'll come back to it, but it's very problematic. But we then sort of jump to the next day, and Seth has obviously now just decided to shoot this little sort of like home video. and he's filming Ryan wrapping up the present. And yeah, and then this came out of nowhere. I'm like, okay, Seth, just because you're having a shit time of it. And he's like, oh, how does it feel having Dean Hess's sloppy seconds? And you're like, where, what? Where did that come from? He's meant to be your best pal.
Also, he was called the Dean of Discipline. At what point did we ever call him that?
His name was
the Dean of, he was the Dean of Discipline. Weird. We really glazed over the fact that that man was a paedophile, didn't we?
Yeah, oh, that was just, he basically just went and worked in another school, like, whatever. But yeah, he basically talks about the poems and Seth's like, oh my gosh, that's like so romantic. And he's like, yep, told her I loved her. And then we do this, it's the kind of back and forth, isn't it, that we see all the time. So
yeah,
Taylor tells Summer, I quite liked it though, she was talking about like how absolutely steaming she was, and she was like, oh my god, I was standing on a table singing Part of Your World from the Little Mermaid scene.
Classic.
He was my Eric. And also she is, oh, how many times have you done this, right? Like, taking it too far the night before your birthday and then being hungover as fuck, and there's all these plans on your actual birthday and you're like, oh yeah, I'm totally fine, I don't want to die, like, and you need to, because you've, oh man, been there.
It's Christmas day for me.
Christmas day every damn year.
Because I'll go out, normally on Christmas Eve we'll go out in Shawlands, where, if you want to come this year, I've now just told you where I'm going to be on Christmas Eve.
But you told me we were going to the garage, Heather. We've already told everyone we were going.
Before the garage. So, like, we normally go into Shawlands, and, like, because I'm from there, all, like, I'll bump into all my friends from school who are probably out with their family. So it is literally just an evening of bumping into people. My friend Rudy, his mum bought me a glass of wine the last time. And,
Was it White Zinfandel? Like,
no, of course it wasn't. It was a
used to like this when you'd be, Heather?
It was a beautiful Pinot Noir. The woman knows me. But it just always means on Christmas morning, my mum will be like, morning! And I'll be like, a little bit more quiet, please, Fiona.
See,
that stocking got some paracetamol in it. Great.
Well, do you want to know, a few years ago, I say a few years ago, this must have been about 10 years ago now. Usually, well, up until the past couple of years, have gone back to like Cumbernauld on Christmas Eve because Steve and I's parents live a street apart and it's just quite nice to like go to the pub with like my brother and like most people go back home. But like one year, my mum and dad also came down to the pub and then invited all our pals back to the house for like a party on Christmas Eve, got the karaoke out. And then it's like, you know, you were saying you're feeling a bit shit the next morning, like, oh my God. So like me and my mum were literally up at like 7 a.m. trying to clean up like the debris from the party so that we could then like put the presents out. And then we were all just, I was like, fucking hell, what chance have you got when this is your parents, you know?
It's not setting a very good example. Or is it setting the best example?
Yeah.
You decide.
James and I are like, and you wonder why we're the way we are.
To be fair, my parents can drink me under the table, so they know it. They know it, I know it, we're all fine with it. Right, I am aware we're now at an hour.
Oh my God, we've been so self-indulgent.
So, I've still got like 4 pages of notes, so
yeah, right.
let's stick to the script. God.
So yeah, Taylor basically is so hungover that she doesn't know if Ryan said he loves her or not. She assumes he does.
Yeah. Back over with Ryan and Seth. Seth is like, why the long face, Ryan? And he explains the whole Berkeley situation. And this is where Seth, again, brutal as fuck, is like, your I love you signed you up to 4 more years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is intense. But and Taylor brings it up later, like, why did he say he loved her if he thought he was just going to move to Berkeley in 6 months' time? It's not really thinking in the long term, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but he basically, Seth is like, look, I don't think you should give her the poems. They're a bit, if you don't want to go to her to go to Berkeley, I don't think you should give her the poems.
Yeah.
And then Taylor's just really confused about the whole thing. Julie comes down to say happy birthday, and she's like, oh, by the way, I gave the mailman that letter. And then Taylor's like, shit, it's the letter. Yeah. She wants to take that back.
Runs out to the street, accosts the mailman. He won't give it back because he's an absolute Jobsworth. And then she gives this big eloquent speech and he's like, oh, okay, sure, yeah, cool. Can you have it back? Great.
And then Thack turns up at the Coens. He's been running as well, like father, like son. And he wants advice on Caitlin. And Ryan's like, oh, just buy her a Porsche or something. And then,
that'll do the trick.
Yeah, Frank's like, can't quite do that. But Ryan's like, look, just be patient.
She's had a tough year. She has.
Yeah. And Ryan's like, I need to go and set up for Taylor's birthday, explains the present. And again, Frank's like, oh, that's so romantic. And Ryan's like, don't stop. And
yeah, you can tell this is the point where he's really freaking out about
totally.
It.
Totally. And then we've got Summers totally banging on about the present to Taylor on the way to the restaurant. Like, oh, it's so good. And then Taylor's just, she's so bloody weird. Like, though she's scrubbed up amazingly for somebody that's hungover to fuck, that she's like, oh, well, I pretend it's a surprise. Like, just so Ryan will feel like really great that I've made a surprise.
Yeah.
And Summer's like, right, cool, whatever.
But she comes in, everyone's like, oh my God. And Sandy's like, wait, was this a surprise? No, it wasn't. She's just been an absolute weirdo.
She's just nuts.
Seth's filming the whole thing because that's his thing now. Kirsten is outside having a wee moment and Sandy very rightly is like, you know, we can move. Like, this isn't the end of the world. Like, we could just move somewhere else. We don't have to live here. The boys will be away soon. It'll be fine. And Kirsten's very much like, no, when Ryan and Seth come home for the holidays, that's the house I want to be in. Yeah. Like, that's our home. That's where we live. Cut to Taylor opening her presents. Seth's got her a sword.
Yeah, some like weird reference to a movie. They both like.
Yep. And then it's Ryan's present, exact same wrapping, but it's actually a dictionary that's got extra words in it.
Whatever.
Seth and Summer both look shook. And Taylor looks so sad. Looks so sad.
She does. It's very weird. She's pretty raging. Who's also raging? Julie, because she's in the toilet. And Caitlin's actually started flying about Frank's fetish for clown porn.
That is hilarious.
Heather, you're so juvenile.
It's so funny. Do you know, though, if you were 15, you'd be like, that is so funny. It's so funny, Jane. We get it. You're a teacher. You're an adult. You have to, like, be responsible. But I think it's hilarious.
Tell who's the, like, older, mature one in this podcast, can't you? Basically, Seth has been creepy as fuck and happens to be filming Summer, who's confiding in Kirsten about Seth, basically, and how he's just a bit lost.
Do you know, though, is he lost? Because I don't think he's changed. Oh. I think she's changed.
She's changed, yeah. Yeah, no, that's such a valid point. But Kirsten's like, oh, just give him time. And then Julie basically catches Caitlin in the act of putting up the clown porn flyers.
And she looks raging.
She does. Like, she's bloody scary, man.
You're raging. Scary. And she's like, do you know how humiliated Frank would be? Do you know how humiliated Ryan would be? Like, that's his dad. This isn't fair. What are you doing? And Julie kind of is like, look, I know like Bullet was rich, or is it about the money? What's going on? And Caitlin's like, it's not even about the money. We lost dad. We lost Marissa. Name check Marissa.
Yep.
We lost Dr. Roberts. We lost Bullet. What makes you think this guy is going to stick around?
Yeah.
And she explains the fact that it's only been a week and he's practically living at the house like he's family. He's not family. Yeah. You and I are. Why can't we just act like that for a little while?
Totally fair.
A complete valid point.
Totally valid.
See? Juvenile or deep. There's no in between.
Fuck. What you like, Heather? What you like? But yeah, she basically, Frank arrives at that point and then they're sort of saved by the cake, which is insane. It's like a really beautiful, Taylor's a bit upset. Ryan apologises and yeah, she's like, look, I don't understand. Am I going crazy? Do you love me? Do you not? And she's like, look, I applied for Berkeley before all of this. It shouldn't change things.
But he explains that it does, because like going to college together is like a really big decision. Okay. And she kind of runs off back into the restaurant. Obviously, at that exact point is when the cake comes out. And it's Summer's like, make a wish. And she can't do it. She's
like, I can't do this.
Runs out. Yeah. And then blows away. Runs away before she can blow out the candles.
Yeah. Everyone's sort of cleared out. And Sandy's like, look, don't worry. We'll tidy up in here. And Sandy's like, where are you going to go next? And he's like, oh, I don't know. Obviously, he's going to go and get Taylor. And Ryan also sees Caitlin sitting. And he's like, look, are you all right? And just in sort of, you can see across the way that Julie seems to be like breaking up with Frank. And she's just like to Ryan, look, nothing against your dad, but it's not been any time. It's only been 1 week. And he's like, well, I thought I'd only last 1 week with the Coens, and look at me now. Yeah. And then they have this kind of like cute little chat where she's like, oh, we're not going to be brother and sister anytime soon. And he's like, look, I'll always be your brother, but
in a non-creepy way.
Yeah, in a non-creepy way. And then Julie sort of comes over and she's like, look, as your sister, you need to tell Taylor that you love her. And if you don't, you're an idiot. I don't think he is, but...
I don't think he is at all.
Nah.
I think there's lots of people getting involved in a situation that has absolutely fuck all to do with him.
Yep. She has been indulged, but anyway. Yeah, so Seth shows, I've not even really written much for this, Seth shows Summer's video and basically it turns out he just like slagging other people's works or like should be a film critic.
Yeah, she kind of is like, I'm sorry you had to overhear that, but he's like, no, it's true. And she is very rightly pointed out the fact that he needs to find something that you actually like really care about. A valid point. Julie and Caitlin at the pier. Cute, because this is where Marissa used to hang out and I like it.
Yep.
Julie has told Frank that they need to slow it down a bit. And Julie addresses the fact that Caitlin is right and she needs to spend some more time with her daughter. Cute. Lovely. They go and get ice cream. Yeah. Excellent.
Classic Caitlin Julie time.
One more indulgence. Before we run out of time. What is your favourite ice cream flavour?
Mint chocolate chip.
See, when you eventually come and visit me in Leeds, there's a Leeds ice cream place. I can't remember what it's called. Northern Block, I think. But they do a peppermint and chocolate ice cream. And it's delicious.
That sounds amazing. Right, okay.
Tally ho. We move.
We do. Taylor's on the phone to a psychic, obviously. And Ryan. Right. The guy that came to fit my bathroom blind earlier was called Brian, so I'm just getting a bit confused. But anyway,
my brain went to Brian like from Family Guy, and I was like, Brian from Family Guy just walked in?
Oh man. But yeah, Ryan comes and he apologises. He's like, look, I freaked out, but I love you. I don't want to lose you. Whether we're going to Berkeley, whether we're going to Paris, Oxford, anywhere, I want to be with you. Cue the earthquake.
The earthquake starts. So Ryan and Taylor are together in her room. I think we should do it by person rather than the order that it shows you. So Everything starts falling, obviously. They kind of fall to the ground. He throws himself over Taylor, and then that their section finishes with a like big shelving
cabinet
thing
falling on them.
Falls on them. Julie and Caitlin run into the ice cream shop when they realise the earthquake's happening, and then something kind of falls down over the front of the door, like the roof kind of falls in or whatever it is. Seth and Summer are in the car because they were driving to
do
something.
Scary.
I can't remember. This traffic light falls and they literally just like avoid being crushed to death.
Just.
And then Kirsten is knocked to the floor. Sandy finds her and kind of throws himself over her as well. All I have learned from this, if there's ever a earthquake, Ali will throw himself over me, right? That's what's going to happen.
Yep.
Sure. I thought you were meant to get in like a door frame. I thought that was a vibe, or under a table. Or was that like air raid
no
sirens?
Idea. Don't know.
Was that World War II?
Earthquake,
or blitz.
Who knows? But it's shit's getting crazy. Yeah, that's it.
So until I take it next next episode is just part two of this episode.
No, like the next episode I think is like in space. No, I'm kidding on.
Shut your noise.
Had you there.
I was like, oh my God, no, she's joking. Sure. Yeah. Listener of the week.
Yep.
Listener of the week. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'll fix that in the edit and we'll sing it beautifully together.
Beautifully in unison. So this week's listener of the week goes out to Stephen Walker. Stephen has been a long-time listener and often sends us great messages and nice facts. For example, the sort of way ahead of the game, young Sandy being played by Max Greenfield, and how Peter Gallagher then plays Schmidt's dad in New Girl. We were a bit rubbish at replying to your messages, Stephen. Apologies, but your intel is very much appreciated. And you're our listener of the week.
Yes. Back in the day, right at the start, he said he really enjoyed the phrase get back in the sea.
And oh God, mine get in
I
the
feel
sea.
We've not said that in ages.
There's an Insta of it, wasn't there? An Insta of get in the sea. It was like really get good. Get in the sea.
So Taylor needs to go. Get in the sea.
Yeah, get in the sea. Yeah.
Okay. Well, on that note, I'm sorry that last 15 minutes was at 100 miles per hour, but we got there in the end, guys.
Do people like listening to us talk about the OC, or do they like just listening to us talk absolute shite about, like, we spent half an hour, that episode must have been on White Zinfandel. Like, I'm actually like, could I go to the shop across the road? I've got 5 minutes, it's probably going to be shut. For the live final, Heather.
For the live, oh my God, we should.
Yeah.
Don't forget, live finale, last opportunity to get tickets. There's not actually that many left, so book now so you're not disappointed.
Be part of this hilarity.
Exactly. Sunday, the 7th of November, 7 p.m. UK time. You can listen. You can find details out at Never Seen the OC on Instagram. And then send us a voice note. That would be lovely.
Tell us you love us. Tell us your favourite brand of White Zinfandel.
We're doing a Taylor. Tell me you love
tell
me.
Tell me you love
please.
Me. Please.
Please tell me you love me or I'll cry. I can't stalk all of you. There's too many of you.
Yeah, too many.
We don't have time for them.
No.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.